This is Sefa Lufau, former Colorado Buffaloes quarterback, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
Talking a little Colorado Buffaloes with my friend Brian Howell, Colorado Buffs beat writer for Buff Zone and the Boulder Daily Camera. Brian, my man, always good to catch up with you. And thanks for squeezing us in. I know you're out. Where are you? You're somewhere. You're somewhere in the country.
I am in Atlanta because Deion Sanders and Jackson State are playing in the Celebration Bowl on Saturday. So I came down here to cover Deion's last game at Jackson State.
Oh, man. Look at you. I love that. That's awesome. Did you just get in, or like, I was going to ask you, like, what's the environment and stuff like building up, but I'm sure you'll be building on that throughout the next couple of days.
Yeah, I just got in a little bit ago. My flight left at 5:25 this morning.
Nice.
It was a very early morning for me, but actually heading over as soon as we're done here, going to grab my media credentials and potentially meet with Deion for a few minutes, and so we'll see. But the Jackson State is at the hotel here, and we'll see what the vibe is here. But I hear the game is sold out, so I think it'll be a pretty cool atmosphere. It's at the Falcon Stadium, actually, so
wow.
Should be pretty.
No, that's awesome. I'm glad you're getting down there. I'll be curious to follow you on Twitter and stuff and see what you put together in Buff Zone about that, you know, that atmosphere and everything. But, you know, really just going into primetime, now that we've had kind of, a little over a week or almost 2 weeks or whatever to kind of settle in on this, now you're starting to see the big names, Brian. You're starting to see guys all over Twitter committing to Colorado. The guy that was the running back that was committing to Notre Dame has changed, and he's looking at Colorado now. So we're starting to see that all over the place.
Yeah, we're starting to see quite a bit of interest, and not as many commits as probably fans want at this point, but I think that's coming. And you know, we still have, I guess signing day is on Wednesday, so we got about 6 days left. I think a lot's going to happen. That's always a big thing. Deion's going to draw the attention, but can he actually reel all these guys in? And we're going to find out here pretty soon.
Yeah, that's what I want to see is, you know, how much do these players, do they, you know, look at it and say, wow, Deion Sanders, and do they calm down, so to speak, and say, yeah, but I've still got a good situation here. I don't know. But again, you're looking at what he was able to do in Jackson State. He's playing this weekend. He has some substance there where it's not just a big name. You saw him coach. He can coach a little bit. Can he do it at this level? That will be the big question.
Yeah, you know, I think so. And I also think that if I'm a high school kid, I also you can't really base a decision to me on a head coach because who knows? Those things turn over all the time, right? But to me, I look at it, I think there's a lot of question marks. How long is Deion actually going to be there? And so, you know, if I'm a high school kid and I'm thinking about committing to Colorado, I think in my mind would be, well, am I going to play for Deion for 4 years or two? Or what is it going to be? So, but that could be the same case everywhere, right? So I don't know if that's a factor for kids or not, but it's probably something to think about.
Brian, what's your feeling right now on that, you know, as far as primetime? Let's say he does, you know, kick this thing off with the bang next year, you know, the 7 or 8 wins or whatever, maybe even better than that. The following year, they're actually at the top of the Pac-12. Maybe we're even talking about playoffs. Great couple of seasons. Do you think that in your conversations or what you're hearing, like with Rick George and stuff, like what's their sense that Deion really is, I know he says the right things, but really would view this as a long-term plan?
Well, I think, you know, the people at CU are going to say the right things as well. And, you know, like a Rick George and people like that are going to say, hey, we just gave him a 5-year contract. So, you know, that's kind of what the deal is. But I look at Deion and think, well, he's got at least one son that's going to come here and potentially the other one as well. Both of them have 2 years of eligibility left. And what happens after that? Because before Deion went to Jackson State, he coached his sons in high school.
Mm.
And before coaching his sons in youth football and things like that. So, I'm not sure when Deion has last coached without his sons. And even when he was coaching high schools before they were there, his sons were at least around, right? They're little kids that could be around. If Shadur, you know, plays here for 2 years and goes on to the NFL, is Deion going to stay back at the University of Colorado and coach? Or does he want to go, you know, be with Shadur and, like, you know, go follow him around a little bit? So or does he not want to coach anymore? So to me, it's a 2 year. I look at 2 years, and then after that, it's maybe bonus time.
It's so crazy, Brian. And again, Dion, Ed McCaffrey, two totally completely different guys. One's a Hall of Fame, most popular athlete, personality, maybe in all of sports. Ed was, you know, a legend in Colorado. But there are some comparisons there. You know, when UNC hired Ed, it was the name. He had the dad situation, too. Like, he coached up his guys, and now Dylan's done. And, you know, Ed's gone. So I've drawn a lot of comparisons. Now, the big one that sticks out, the difference is, Dion has some substance. He coached at the college level. Ed never did. His staff never did. But it is kind of interesting that in both areas, Brian, you and I are both so familiar with, kind of have some similarities, I suppose, in the hires.
Yeah, there's some similarities. But I think you pointed out the big one there. And the other one, too, is that Dion not only coached in college, but he took over a program that wasn't doing very well. Jackson State had six straight losing seasons, and he comes in here and turns it around. Whereas, you know, Ed's previous experience was at Valor Christian, which, let's be honest, I'm not saying you and I could coach Valor Christian. That would take away the efforts of those coaches. But everybody that's ever coached at Valor Christian has won,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
A couple weeks ago, I just covered a first-year Valor Christian coach in the state championship game. I know he won the state title with Chatfield last year, but still, everybody that's been at Valor Christian has won. So I think there's a big difference there as far as, you're right, I think Dion's got more substance, but you do have the whole family atmosphere or aspect of it that you have to look at and say, all right, how big of a factor is that really? And it probably is.
Yeah, well, no, and you're right. I mean, Dion took something from the ground and built it up, and again, his recruiting prowess too. Ed McCaffrey even joked, but it was true. He even said, "I don't know that a lot of youngsters know who I am. They might know Christian, but they don't know me." Well, Dion Sanders, that's been the beauty of it. He was a Hall of Fame football player that you and I watched. But for the younger guys that are, you know, 17, 18, 19, looking at his school, looking at him to be their coach, they watched him on ESPN. They watched him on NFL Network. They watched him Barstool. I mean, he continued with that primetime brand for so long that it has set him up using that celebrity to recruit.
Yeah, I mean, my youngest son is 12 years old, and he's excited about Deion Sanders.
Wow.
He went and watched some highlights of him. He's like, whoa, that guy was good. You know, and you know, so he's excited about him. He's 12 years old. I mean, Dion retired in, what, 2005? So, you know, I mean, these young kids, I mean, I heard somebody from, I think it was Rich Eisen, maybe, talking about when they were working at NFL Network that they showed up to the combine. They're like, yeah, do these guys really know who Dion is? Well, everybody knew who Dion was. And so all these guys know who he is. And it's huge. And you're seeing that factor right now. I just wrote a story that's in today's paper about, you know, Colorado has had 7,000 interest forms filled out for new season tickets. And in the past, the guy was telling me up at CU that they topped out at maybe 1,000 for a whole off season in the past. And they've got 7,000 interest forms already within the first 10 days. So, you know, you're looking at things like that. I mean, just personally me, my Twitter followers, I've got 4,000 Twitter followers since Dion was hired. So, I mean, it's insane the impact that this guy has made, and he has a huge reach.
It's fair to say Dion Sanders is good for business, Brian. Good for everyone's business, right?
Yeah.
Well, have you talked to him? I mean, I know you're working on trying to get a one-on-one, like an exclusive with him. Have you had that opportunity yet, or was it more of the press conference mode like last week?
Yeah, I haven't had that yet. We had the press conference where I didn't even get to, you know, shake his hand or anything. He was in and out. A lot of things going on that day. But last Friday, he had an off-the-record lunch with about 8 or 10 of us from the media, and you know, it was a group thing, and afterwards I was able to shake his hand and say hi, but that's about it. I haven't really interviewed him and been able to really chat with him a whole lot, get to know him. I'm hoping that talking to his people, that may happen today, so we'll see.
I'm looking forward to that. You'll do great with that. Well, and Brian, I've even put a request out to get him on the show at some point. I don't know if it'll ever happen. If it does, I got to be honest with you. I'll be, like, freaking out a little bit inside because I've seen so many of his one-on-ones where they'll ask a question and he just, like, goes in different directions and stuff. So got to be ready. But you're going to handle it well. I'll be freaking out a little bit if I ever do get that opportunity.
Yeah, you know, and don't be offended if you don't, because it sounds like a tough to get Deion, and you know,
can't blame a guy for trying, right?
I mean, hey, I'm the same way. I'm like, I don't know if I'll ever get a chance to talk to him. So, you know, we'll see. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it just because, you know, I'm not one that's like, I'm trying not to get caught up in any of the hype and all that. But as the beat writer, I want to get to know him and have him know me and, you know, have that relationship to where, hey, you can trust me and kind of get on the same page and things like that. And whether it's a celebrity like Deion or whether it's a very quiet guy like Carl Durrell, I want to have a good relationship with the head coach. So I'm hoping to build that here soon.
Yeah, no doubt. And nobody does it better than you covering this Colorado Buffaloes team. Brian, the Pac-12 situation is interesting. And again, I look at Deion and I say, this is the best time to come in here because UCLA, USC, I mean, we know that it's going to go through. It looks like it's going to go through and everything, and there's going to be a lot of money that those schools are going to have to spend to make this thing work, and then travel costs and everything. I still think it's a weird move, especially now that we have increased the playoff teams to 12. If I'm USC, I look back at the Pac-12 or UCLA and say, man, I could run this thing for the next few years. I could be, you know, we could be in the playoffs every single year if we just dominate the Pac-12. Now they're going to go to the Big Ten. And I'm looking at your chances of being a playoff team and thinking, man, that's a way tougher challenge, at least at this point.
Yeah, I mean, you look at USC right now, and if they were the Big Ten right now, I mean, they're maybe the third best team in the Big Ten, right?
Yeah.
Behind again in Ohio State, and that's probably going to be the case a lot of years. So, you know, financially, obviously, it's going to be a big deal for those schools, but competitively, you're right. I mean, USC, if they didn't leave, they'd probably run this thing with Lincoln Riley for quite a long time. And so it opens the door for other teams. And, you know, that's probably where, you know, George Kliavkov and Pac-12 leaders are like, oh, yeah, Colorado hired Deion. Sweet.
Oh.
we kind of need something like that.
And here's the bigger question. If you have your George Kliavkov, I get it wrong every time, Kliavkov, aren't you like, dude, did Deion Sanders right now anyway just save the Pac-12?
Well, at least, I mean, they're probably looking the same thing, like, well, how long is he going to be there? But we got to capitalize on it right now. And where you say maybe save the Pac-12 is that they're currently in media rights negotiations. And, you know, Kliavkov did say a couple weeks ago that, hey, Deion could impact those. And so, I mean, if you're ESPN or whoever and you're looking at this and saying, oh, we can put that guy on TV, I mean, that's pretty cool, you know.
Oh, yeah.
That might get a little extra in those negotiations. So if you're the Pac-12, you're probably – excited about that hire because the bigger names you have in the coaching realm, you know, I think the more attractive your league is. I mean, look at the SEC, and part of it is obviously those teams are very good, but it's nice that you have Nick Saban down there, right? You have Kirby Smart, you know, things like that. Jimbo Fisher, you know, guys that are big names, and Jimbo didn't do very well this year, but still, you know, big name guys and the coaching profession. So the Pac-12 needs some of that. Now you've got, well, Lincoln Riley's leaving, but you know, you still have some big names. At least this next year, you got Lincoln Riley, you got Deion Sanders. You have some big names there.
Yeah, you really do. Brian, appreciate you so much. That's awesome that you're there to cover this Jackson State football game. I'm looking forward to your write-up from it, and hopeful you can get that exclusive with Deion Sanders because we'll be following along, my friend.
Yeah, I'm hoping as well, and yeah, we'll see.
All right, man.
I'll get it. I'm crossing my fingers.
We'll be rooting for you, okay? You be safe. Get some rest when you can. Sounds like you had an early start, but appreciate you as always, my man.
You bet. Anytime.
Brian Howell, Colorado Buffaloes beat writer. Is there any fear, I wonder, that the Buffs can't live up to what Deion Sanders wants? Because he's going to want, you know, they got really nice facilities there. But he's going to want the best of the best, the bells and whistles, the additions and everything. Can the Buffs live up to all that? Rick George still trying to figure out how to pay the man.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much, you know, kind of similar to the Broncos. There's so much expectation for this program, team moving forward. Can we, you know, kind of stymie that a little bit and just like, hey, relax.
He's
a college coach. They haven't even played a game yet.
They won one game this year.
They haven't even started practicing yet.
No. I mean, he's still with his other team. They won one game. I mean,
that's not easy to just flip it over. It's getting a culture removed and putting in a new one.
And then you have a new one, and it still takes time. You won one game. And now, I mean, the expectations are from one game to I don't know. I'll bet you some Buffs fans are like, we want to at least say the word playoffs next year.
I think 6 wins in a bowl game would be very successful in the first year.
Is that a little high, like expectations-wise?
I think that's the ceiling for this first year.
So realistically, your expectations are like, they should win 4 games.
4 or 5 wins, yeah.
And then, but you
think Pac-12 like, play will be harder than they think it is. But those first couple of games, again, you know, TCU is going to be tough. Nebraska is going to be a huge game for them. And then CSU in your place, that's going to be a just big-time game to start out the year.
And the thing is, we don't even know any of the players on this team. We're all just kind of going, yeah, Deion's going to attract enough good players. That should be better for 4 to 6 wins. That's the power of primetime, I guess. All right, we'll take a short break. UNC football. Sounds like, you were talking about this yesterday when you jumped in, Angel. Sounds like we've got the staff for the most part, and it doesn't sound like any of the current guys are going to be sticking around. So, good and bad, I guess. We'll talk about it next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
Sunday and Monday Night Football are on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.